Well, Andrew, this week, a big movie comes out. And the more I see previews for this movie, the more I think we're going to have another Jaws incident on our hands.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like Melissa McCarthy as much as the next guy, but, I mean, isn't the shtick done? I mean, I don't need to see... I'm just not looking forward to Spy. Are you?
I think we're on a different page.
Oh, okay.
That's next week's episode. Did we not discuss this before the podcast, what we were going to talk about?
Well, I'm just following your lead, as I always do.
I agree with you. The shtick is... It's pretty much so spent.
Yes.
But I'm talking about Jurassic World. And, you know, going into it, I was really excited. But every single time I see a commercial for this movie, I get more worried that this is going to be a horrible film.
Yeah.
Really disappointing. And I think that what your reference to Jurassic Park and Jaws, I think, is a really good one from, you know, a couple months ago. And I think it's gonna take place when this movie comes out. But that's not to say that there hasn't been some good summer movies. Have you seen any movies this summer, Andrew?
You know, I have. What was the last one I went and saw? Oh, I went and saw Mad Max.
Man, I saw Mad Max too.
Did you take the missus with you?
No.
Oh, I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
About
5 minutes into the movie, she leaned over to me and said, "What the crap is going on?"
And that's exactly why I did not bring my wife to go see to see Mad Max. But I thought Mad Max was a lot of fun. In terms of, like, fun, it was up there and, like, one of the more fun movies to see in theaters. The plot is kind of thin. But it doesn't. That's okay. It's not necessarily a bad thing, for the plot to be thin. But I thought it was a great movie. I had a lot of fun. The special effects were awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they built those cars.
Yeah.
Those were real cars that they were driving around. Was pretty cool. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a 2-hour movie, and then about an hour and 45 minutes of it is just straight action. Yeah, car chase.
Yeah.
Like, you can, there's like 3 or 4 minutes here and there that you get the chance to catch your breath, but for the most part, it is just nonstop. And the dialogue, you know, Andrew, I bet that script was about 7 pages long.
Yeah, unless they're like descriptions of how the car chase was going to go. There's not a lot of dialogues. Mad Max is not really a talkative fellow.
And, you know, Max isn't even the main character in
the
movie.
It's the girl. Futurna, whatever her name was.
Yeah. It's Charlize Theron's character is the main
Furiosa,
character.
I think.
Furiosa, that's it, yeah. Yeah, and she was really good in that. Oh, I mean, everybody was really good in it. Tom Hardy was awesome in that movie.
I really liked it. Have you seen the old ones?
You know, I've seen all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I've seen them, and I can't say if I've seen Thunderdome all the way through. But it's interesting because the first Mad Max is really nothing like
the other three movies. Officer at that point.
Yeah, it's like it's like the world has, you know, it's like the apocalypse is coming in that movie. Like, it's halfway to complete chaos, but not quite there. So there's still some order and community.
So basically, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, we're in the first Mad Max movie.
So this is what you have to look forward to.
Yeah, but the difference, like, there's a stark difference between Mad Max and Road Warrior, the second one. I mean, it's just night and day, completely different. And then Thunderdome, Road Warrior, the original three, Road Warrior's always been my favorite, especially the final sequence, which. This movie, this Mad Max movie, Fury Road, is basically like the last 20 minutes of Road Warrior, but for the entire movie.
Now, I will say with Thunderdome, now...
Thunderdome. That's not... Can we not talk about Thunderdome? That one was no good.
Tina Turner is in it.
Oh, gosh.
It's got the song and everything. We don't need another hero. You know, Tina Turner.
Yeah.
You don't like Tina Turner, Will?
Well, it's just funny that she's in that movie, I think. That's comical to me.
She's a legend. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
She's a very nice lady.
I'm not gonna I'm not going to refute that. I've never met her personally. I'm not going to refute that Tina Turner is a nice lady, but I don't know if that's the, you know, I don't know if that's what our listeners want to hear is about Tina Turner. do you have a song you want to play? Should we add it to the podcast, a Tina Turner song?
Like, I mean,
I guess we should take requests. So, yeah. By the way,
the best. She's simply the best, Will.
My name is Will Patton. I'm joined by
Andrew Brown.
This is the Fourth and Short podcast at fourthandshort.com. You can email your Tina Turner requests to fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com or Facebook us at just by searching for Fourth and Short Podcast. And we will play on, if we get, mark my words, Andrew.
I'm marking your words.
We get a lot of emails on this show. If we get a Tina Turner podcast, or no, excuse me, a Tina Turner song request, we will play it on the podcast. Is that fair?
Can we play just a clip? I mean, that could get lengthy.
I don't know if we have the rights to play the entire song, but we can probably play a
song. Well, you play instruments, don't you? You should just learn the chords to one of Tina's more recognizable of her catalog. There you okay. go.
And are you going to sing it?
No.
Is that the other half of it?
No.
I was hoping.
Well.
So.
Have you seen any other movies, Will? Or is that the only one?
You know, I saw another one. I was actually in Los Angeles last week, and there was a cinema that was next door to the hotel that I was staying at, and I was done for the day, and I was like, oh, what am I going to go see? And I wanted to go see something that I knew that probably nobody else would go see with me.
Mm. You went to the New Beverly?
Huh?
You went to the New Beverly?
The theater?
Yeah.
No. It was in Chino Hills.
Oh, Chino. The Chino Kid. Okay.
Yeah. So I saw the movie Ex Machina.
Not the Chino Kid. Kid Chino. For those of you in our audience who know what I'm talking about, you can send us an email.
No one knows what you're talking about. But I saw Ex Machina.
Oh, I've heard that was really good.
I liked it. I thought it was really good. I don't know. I went in there with kind of middle of the road expectations. It was good. I liked it. I don't think everybody would like it. Mm-hmm. But it was good. It reminded me. Have you heard of the BBC series Black Mirror?
I have not.
Black. It's really, you would like it. I'm not sure if you know, because I know a lot of people wouldn't like it. You know, I don't think my wife would like it. I don't know if your wife would like it. But it's basically kind of like a modern day Twilight Zone.
Is there a love story in it?
No. So if
okay,
each
then probably
episode,
she wouldn't like it.
Each episode is its own thing.
Ah.
So each episode I think it's like every episode's maybe like an hour and 15 minutes, and it's own self-contained story within it, and it's all really good. And the Ex Machina felt like an episode of Black Mirror. Hmm. So I mean, I think you would like it. I think a lot of people would like it, but it is kind of weird. It is kind of weird.
Did you see Tomorrowland?
No, and I've heard there's been kind of been mixed feelings on that movie. So I don't know what to think of that one. But you know, there's still a lot of good movies to come out this year.
Are you going to go see Jurassic World even
yes,
though?
Yes, I'm going to go see it. Hmm. I'm going to go see it in theaters.
In 3D?
No.
That movie is made for 3D.
No, it's not.
They filmed it with 3D cameras.
So there's a couple of other movies that are coming out this summer. Have you seen... Oh, what's the name of that movie? Hang on.
This is Will typing.
Yeah, this is me typing. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, that movie that he's going to be in.
Well, let's little more about the film, Will.
There was a documentary called Man on Wire.
Oh yeah, that's this summer?
No, well, the movie's coming out, but I can't really think of what the movie's called.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's like Wire or something. They had a trailer for it when I went and saw Mad Max. It's going to be in 3D. It looks really cool.
And see, that movie, I may want to see in 3D.
Is it
called Wire?
It's like called? The Wire or something, I don't know.
Hang on.
It did look really good.
So, have you seen the documentary?
I have not.
It's really good. The documentary by itself is good. I think it's on Netflix. It was for a while.
Well, I don't watch documentaries.
The Walk. It's called The Walk.
Okay.
And it's basically about this guy who's he walks on, you know, the tight ropes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and basically the trailer shows him about, you know, looking at the World Trade Center, and it's a true story about this, you know, he walked on a tightrope across in between the two buildings in the World Trade Center, and it's awesome. The documentary is really exciting and fun, and I think the movie is going to be pretty good too. So, and apparently they filmed that one in 3D, and apparently it's one of those movies that might actually be worth seeing in 3D.
It's like Avatar; you have to see it.
Yeah.
Now the other one, the movie that I'm going to go see the day it comes out. The Ed
Spy?
Helms no,
oh,
no the Ed Helms film featuring Chevy Chase, brand new Vacation film.
I am cautiously optimistic about that movie.
It's gonna stand on its own. It's its own adventure.
I think it'll be really good. I like Ed Helms. I'm sure Chevy Chase is going to kind of, you know,
pass
the torch off a little bit. It should be really good. I love the Vacation films, and I'm glad that there's going to be a new one with Rusty as the main character.
Yeah,
that'll be fun. Is that coming out this summer?
Yeah, it's in July sometime.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I know they filmed it in Atlanta.
Did they really?
Yeah, they filmed a good portion of it in Atlanta.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And then later in the year, I think it's in November, The Martian is coming out. Have you heard about The Martian?
No.
It's a Matt Damon. It's an adaptation on a book by Andy Weir that's really good. And if you haven't read The Martian, you should read it. It's really good. But Matt Damon's going to be in a movie that comes out this November. They actually just released some screenshots from the movie that I'm really excited about. I can't wait. And of course Star Wars comes out in December.
Yes. I am looking forward to that.
First in line.
You're already in line.
I'm already in line. I'm recording from outside my local theater. I quit my job.
I think that's a little excessive. But I'll tell you, Will, I think the new sequel to Rocky called Creed. Wow, that is going to be.
Now,
amazing.
Does that come out this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to go see it.
No.
I think the Rocky. Well, Sylvester Stallone plays Rocky. I don't know who the
Is he going to be boxing in the movie? Haven't they already done this?
No, he's going to be like the Mickey character.
Oh, he's going to be the Mickey character.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the voice and everything for it now.
You know? Yeah. Well, was it Grudge Match that he did a few years ago?
Oh.
Where he was, it was him and, who was it?
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Raging Bull. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Raging Bull?
No, I haven't.
You should see it. It's an interesting movie. It's kind of depressing. It's kind of like, did you ever see The Wrestler?
Yes.
Another very depressing movie.
Yeah. Won Best Picture.
I don't think so.
I think it... No. He won Best Actor.
I don't think so.
What did he win? He won something.
He won everything except the Academy Award. It's kind of like Birdman, where Michael Keaton won every award up until the Academy Awards and didn't win that. Which is kind of ridiculous because he should have won, but yeah, same thing.
I could have swore that it won some
awards. He was nominated for best actor, but he did not win.
No, it won Best Picture.
The Wrestler?
The Wrestler.
No. It did not. It was
in 2008.
Yeah, no, I think like Black Swan or something won.
Hang on a second.
It did not win Best Picture. This is Will typing.
I could have sworn. Hang on. I don't know.
Are you ready? I'll tell you what won Best Picture whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
It's a little film, you might have heard about it, called Slumdog Millionaire.
Let's see.
Yep.
No, that was 2009.
it's the same year.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. It was nominated, I guess.
Oh. You should have known. Sean Penn won Best Actor for Milk. And it's not about, like, cow's milk.
Oh. It's not, like, about pasteurization of milk?
No.
Oh.
He couldn't have lost for that role. So, Will.
Anyway, I guess I was completely wrong. It won something. Mickey, it was, you know, comeback of the year award for Mickey.
You know, it was a good film, but I don't ever want to see it again.
No.
It's pretty depressing.
I think I watched it with you.
Did you? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think we rented it when we were still roommates, and we watched it, and we were like, that was really good. I will never see that movie
again. Never again, yeah. So. Really sad.
Yeah, really, really sad. Anyway.
Those of you and on the audience who are thinking about becoming wrestlers, I wouldn't.
Watch the...
Yeah, I wouldn't. Think of a different... Yeah. Be like a computer programmer or something.
Yeah. Something a little bit more, you know, upward mobility.
Mm-hmm.
So... But, you know, the Ram, you know, he was big in his day. So this is a college football podcast, but it's the off season.
Yeah.
So we just ramble. That's what you signed up for when you clicked play.
We're just trying to fill space right here.
We got our sponsors, and they were like, look, you haven't done an episode in a while, and we're about to drop you. So we're like, okay, we'll record our conversation. But
I know, they said, well, we've got to sell some of those Sherry's Berries.
Yeah, Sherry's Berries. And is Mountain Dew still our sponsor? Or did
we lose them? No, they dropped us a long time ago.
I forgot
they should have.
Yeah. Well, we said some pretty hateful things on... They made us take that episode down.
You know, we don't really appeal to that Gen X crowd that's
big
into...
So we don't do the do? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. It's too much caffeine for me.
I prefer the big K, like the Citrus Drop.
Oh.
Citrus Drop Extreme, actually, is what I prefer to Mountain Dew.
What about a Mellow Yellow?
No. I like, you know, I like Coke products, but I can't remember the last time I drank a Mellow Yellow.
Hey, that was a good product a long time ago.
Yeah, I like, you know, I like to say Mellow Yellow. Kind of rolls off the tongue a little.
Okay. Well, yeah. Mellow Yellow is a interesting drink.
I like the Surge. I want Surge to be back in stores.
Well, it's coming back.
Oh, I know. You can buy them on Amazon. It's like $30 for a pack of 12, but you can get them.
Yeah.
I just like the sensation of just bouncing off the walls because there's so much sugar in my system.
You should drink a Jolt Cola.
Is that just as bad?
Jolt Cola was like, I mean, it was a cola flavored energy drink. I mean, it was just basically just caffeine. I don't think they make it anymore.
Yeah, probably too many heart attacks.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you. Let me tell you, Will.
Do we have time?
Yeah, well,
I'm asking our engineer if we have time. Do we have time?
We got all the time in the world.
We have time.
I went to the Dunkin' Donuts yesterday because Dunkin' Donuts, throughout the summer, if you go during happy hour, you can get a coffee for 99 cents.
Really?
Yeah, I don't drink coffee, but my wife does. And she asked for a decaf coffee, and they gave her a regular coffee, which we realized about 2 hours later when she was running around the house trying to do 50 different tasks at the same time. And I said, Nikki, you need to sit down. And she was like, I can't sit down. I've got too much on my mind. And she was pacing, and she did a load of laundry, and she was ironing, and... I mean, it did a whole, all the dishes, and...
You need to give her coffee more often. That sounds great.
Oh, it was 12:30 last night, and I said, Nikki, don't you need to go to bed? And she was like, yes. I was like, okay, well, you just do whatever. So
well, that's, yeah.
Yeah. It was,
so you didn't go to Dunkin' Donuts on Thursday for Donut Day?
I think that was National... Friday, wasn't it?
Was it Friday? Oh, yeah, it was Friday, because Thursday was National Running Day, and they follow it up with Donut Day. So.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think better than the other way around.
I don't
run
know. Are
for
you,
your donut.
Do you eat Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts?
I haven't had a donut in a long time, but I do prefer Krispy Kreme.
See, I like Krispy Kreme, but my wife likes the coffee at Dunkin' Donuts. And my opinion is, if I'm getting a donut, I can't really, you know, be a beggar. I'll take a donut.
We're not allowed to eat donuts. So
that's
special.
Yeah, see, I'm allowed to eat a donut because my wife wants a coffee. So it's a bribe.
It's a give and take.
Yeah, it's a bribe. Yeah. I mean, that's why
I'll take you there, but I have to have a jelly donut while I'm there.
I don't like jelly donuts, though. Just a glaze. You know.
Just like the regular glazed donuts.
Regular glazed donut.
Simpleton. That's okay.
You know, it's just very, you know, it's something that we can just look at and say, I know what I'm getting. It's very similar to the quarterback situation at the University of Georgia.
Oh, we tied it in. We did it. If we had an applause track, we would play it right now.
Yep.
But our engineer, our engineer is telling us we don't have one.
We need a new intern.
Yeah, he stinks. Sorry. But anyway, we tied it in. Yeah, the UGA quarterback situation. You know, Andrew, it's really easy. When you look at UGA, to take the guy under center for granted.
Yes.
Because for the past few years, he really hasn't been necessary to have someone there. And I think that Murray, when he was in the role, I think did a very serviceable job. He was good at he was good at managing the game. He'd throw for 180 yards, maybe a touchdown or two. His touchdown to interception ratio was pretty good for the most part, and you know his job is to hand the ball off to the running back behind him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, no matter what the situation is, no matter which team you're on, the quarterback is still the most important player on offense, most important person on the field. And you would think at a school like Georgia that they would have somebody in the wings ready to go.
Yeah, you'd think so. But it's kind of interesting, like you said. I don't understand how they are not getting the quarterbacks that they.
So
Murray
leaves.
Once did.
Hudson Mason, it was just the one season that he started, right? After
one
Murray
and a
left?
Half. Yeah, one and a half.
One and a half, yeah. So Hudson Mason, you know, he was serviceable as well. Let's see. Just looking at his numbers, let's see.
But he wasn't going to win a game for you. He wasn't going to take a game in his hands and win it for you. And every quarterback at Georgia has been very similar the last few years. Just do enough to win the game. You know, put it in somebody else's hands when you have to. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mo.
And think about it, though. In the situations where they did give it to Hudson Mason to win the game instead of giving it to a running back.
Didn't go very well.
It didn't go very well. I can think of two times against South Carolina when they, you know, it was first and goal and they threw it four times and couldn't get into the end zone. And then also versus Georgia Tech in overtime. Where Hudson Mason ended up throwing the game-ending interception.
Yeah.
So Hudson Mason wasn't your game-winning quarterback. The reason Georgia's been good the past couple of years is because of their running backs. But at the same time, you need to have a good quarterback back there, and who's it going to be for next year? Because Hudson Mason's not there. Who do you have that's going to take the reins next year?
Well, they don't. They didn't have anybody, Will. And
I guess Bryce Ramsey was the guy, the heir apparent, but apparently they're not trusting him enough because they're going out of the conference to try to find somebody.
Well, you gotta wonder. I mean, I guess I wonder with Georgia's recruiting, are they recruiting really good quarterbacks that aren't panning out, and that becomes a coaching issue, or are they just not getting the quarterbacks that really they need, the top guy? I mean, Bryce Ramsey, when he came to Georgia, okay, he had a lot of offers from a lot of schools, highly recruited guy. I mean, I think he was like a 4-star recruit. But, you know, he's been there a few years and wasn't able to ever beat the other guys. And so now, like you said, they have to go out, They've brought in a transfer from the University of Virginia, gonna play 1 year, get the 1 year transfer, Grayson Lambert. I don't really know if this is a sign of desperation. I don't know if there's a new playbook and they're concerned about Bryce Ramsey being able to.
Yeah, Bryce Ramsey was a four-star recruit coming out of high school. He had offers from Alabama, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, and Ohio State. All of those are factory, you know, big-time schools. And he is a I believe he's going to be a redshirt sophomore, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be his third year in the system, and they don't feel confident enough in him to keep him, which is why they went to Virginia to bring in a transfer from Virginia, a redshirt senior in what's his last name?
Lambert.
Grayson Lambert.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
And Grayson Lambert was a pretty middle-of-the-road quarterback last year with a pretty mediocre Virginia team.
Now,
So what does that say? What does that mean?
Well, to me, what it means is that if Bryce Ramsey cannot win the job now, if he can't win it now, he's never going to win it.
Right.
That's really my opinion, because if he can't win it as a redshirt sophomore, why do you think he's going to be the guy when he's a redshirt junior? He's not. So, I don't know if that's Georgia saying, okay, we swung and missed on our quarterback commit. I mean, because he was supposed to be the guy.
Yeah.
Some people even thought last year, as a redshirt freshman, he would take over.
Right.
And he didn't. Once again, it looks like he's not. Maybe this is just like a, you know, put some fire under his britches and maybe he can win out the job. But I'm not sure what it means.
The good news for Georgia, though, is that you don't necessarily need anything more than what you had last year and the year before that.
Right.
Because as long as you have the running backs that you have back there with Nick Chubb leading the way, then you're going to have a good season. And they got Nick Chubb back, and they still have a lot of good offensive linemen, which they always get. Their defense was good, you know, for the most part last year, and will probably be good again this year. So, I don't think if you're a Georgia fan, you should be too concerned with what you have coming back. But I don't think that you're ever going to get to that next level and be a contender in the SEC and then a contender in the playoffs if you don't have a quarterback that can take over the game when you need them to.
Right, I agree. And that's something that could be a problem for them if they make it to the playoff. Let's say Georgia makes it to the playoffs. I think if you're matched up with Oregon, if you're matched up with Ohio State, with teams that have quarterbacks that are very mobile and can kind of take the game and run for a first down if needed, it's going to put Georgia at a definite disadvantage.
Right.
Also, if you remember, when Murray was back there, Murray was getting sacked all the time.
Right.
So, you know, that's just kind of nothing against the pro-style quarterback, but I think the way the college game is evolving, we're moving away from that.
Yeah. Yeah, you need somebody more mobile nowadays that can run it when they need to, especially in the college game. You know, not necessarily so much in the pros. Pros is still, you know, a drop back passer is still kind of the order of the day, but the teams that you see that are winning championships, with sort of the exception of Florida State last year or a year before last, because he's not really a runner. He could run.
Jameis Winston's not a mobile quarterback.
He's not a mobile quarterback. He's a traditional drop back passer, but you know, a lot of the teams that have won in the past few years have had a quarterback who could run it when he needed to. And Georgia has not had that type of player for a while. And that's not to say that you have to have one.
No.
But it's moving in that direction.
Right.
So. But anyway, yeah, it is an interesting story that they did bring in. It was a surprise to me. I didn't even know that they were looking for a quarterback, much less someone from Virginia who really hasn't shown us a whole bunch, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's serviceable, and maybe if he has the pieces around him, he can be really good. But I think at the end of the day, he's just going to be the same thing as Hudson Mason last year, a game manager. And you're going to win some games with a, you know, a game manager and a good running back. But I don't think it's going to take you to the very end. I think you need to have a good, competent quarterback, which I don't think Georgia has.
Yeah, and that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. And you mentioned quarterbacks changing schools, Will.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia is not the only one. Everett Golson from Notre Dame is not going to be at Notre Dame next year.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, so he hasn't really been in the picture for a while.
Mm.
He dealt with some suspensions, and he just, you know, last year with Notre Dame, there was the other guy, Zaire, I believe is what his last name was, that kind of a little bit overshadowed him. He was an underclassman. And, you know, everybody thinks that Everett Golson is this huge spark plug of a quarterback, but, you know, we talk about needing a quarterback to get, you know, help you do well in the playoffs. Well, Everett Golson was the prime example of that, because the year that they went to the national championship and lost was it was not Everett Golson that got Notre Dame to the national championship. It was their defense. Right. And when they got there and they couldn't score any points. Notre Dame just couldn't score anything. They just didn't have the offense to compete with a really, really good, you know, a really good defense that they got thrown up against. And it was not a game. It was a beatdown.
It was terrible.
So now Everett Golson is transferring to Florida State. In your opinion, is that, you know, what does that mean for Florida State in this year? Is he going to be a lightning rod, or is he just going to be a game manager? Is there going to be anything close to the quarterback production at Florida State this year as opposed to last 2 years?
No. Everett Golson was under one of the best quarterback coaches in the country and was a turnover machine. I mean, he was turning the ball over all the time. He kind of fell apart after he played Florida State last year. It's going to be a different look Florida State this year. I just don't think that you can expect Everett Golson to win the game for you. But you've got some good running backs. And I think the defense is not going to be as good. I think that Florida State, with the schedule they have, kind of favorable, still should expect to win 9 or 10 games, but I think Everett Golson is not going to win you as many games as Jameis Winston would.
Do you think that they can win the division?
Well, that brings us to our next team that we need to talk about, Clemson, and how Clemson is basically put all their eggs in one basket, and I think that's kind of concerning, because we don't know much about what Clemson is going to be. If anybody's going to win the division that's not Florida State, it would be Clemson.
Clemson was really good last year, and it was driven by their defense.
Mm-hmm.
They had one of the best defenses in all of college football, and they had a good offense at times. There was a few games that they looked really good, and that Deshaun Watson looked awesome. He looked really good, but he couldn't stay on the field. He had several injuries throughout the season, and one that took him out for the rest of the season near the end. And their other quarterback wasn't really the lightning rod that he was, or their past quarterbacks have been. So, you know, he was no Taj Boyd. And so they went from, when they had Boyd, they had all the pieces in place for offense. And then last year, they were missing some pieces on offense. They could still put a good offense in the field, but it was their defense that was the real hero on their team.
Yes.
Well, now that defense is gone.
Yes.
They're gone. Several of them drafted to the NFL. I can't remember the numbers. I want to say it's like 9 of the starters are gone from last year's team. Can can they replace that in 1 year? I don't, it's going to be very tough. It's going to be very, very tough to do that. And
see, that's my thing, is that I think for Florida State, they are lucky that Clemson peaked when they peaked. Because I think Clemson's going to have a down year at the same time. So that benefits Florida State. I think Florida State has a good chance of getting back to the championship game. Because I don't really look at any other teams in that division who can win it all.
Yeah, they still have some young running backs at Florida State who are going to be good. Their defense should... I don't think they lost too much in defense.
No, they lost enough. defense isn't going to be as good. I still think that you look at... My question is, if you don't think Florida State can win at all, or as far as the division, who will? Ain't going to be NC State. You know, not Boston College.
Louisville?
I'm not buying Louisville yet. Maybe, but I'm not buying them yet. I mean, I think that Bobby Petrino is really a good coach, but I'm just not sure that they're there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think in the Atlantic, it's going to be either Florida State or Clemson, and I'm leaning towards Florida State. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Coastal, Georgia Tech... this year, as opposed to last year, has had a very quiet summer for the most part. And that is a really good thing. Because last year, there was a lot of attrition for some justifiable reasons and some not. There was players that were hurt and had to leave. There were some players that transferred away. And there was an awful lot of players that were just simply kicked off the team.
Yeah.
And... this year, so last year I want to say it was like 13 players from the time that the bowl game ended to the time that the first game started. 13 players that probably would have been in at least the two deep were gone from the team in one summer. And going into it, it was it was easy to panic about the situation because you did lose all these guys, a lot of people that you thought were going to be important to the team. And what did the Jackets do? They had their best season since 1990 and won the Orange Bowl.
Right.
You know, beat several of your arch rivals. Well, beat all of your arch rivals that you play every year with Virginia Tech, Clemson, Miami, Georgia. You won all those games. So this year, though, only one person has been in terms of attrition, has left the team, and that was Dennis Andrews was removed from the roster due to a violation of team rules, which is very unfortunate for him and for the team as well, because he was one of only two skilled position players besides the quarterback that had meaningful playing time last year. And now that leaves one skilled position player besides Justin Thomas, and that being Broderick Snoddy, who came off of a season-ending injury last year. And we really don't know how he's going to bounce back this year. So that leaves a big question mark when it comes to the running backs and receivers going into this year. How concerned are you about that, Andrew?
Concerned. I am concerned. My question will be, who steps up? Is there people on the team, or are there people on the team who can step up? Because you can, with skilled players, if you've got a line that's experienced, as long as a running back can hit the hole, you know, you're going to be okay. I think that it's a lot to all happen at once. You would really like it to have some... maybe lose a couple running backs at once and then still have a receiver. So you kind of are worried about your downfield blocking. It might be rough at the beginning.
We do have a couple of, we have a couple of games to kind of get a feel for it, which is good.
Right.
But yeah, you know, you mentioned the offensive line. You know, we lost one guy on the offensive line, one starter, and he was an All-American, Shaq Mason. So it is a big loss, but we bring back a lot of really good guys and some young guys that hopefully will be reaching their peak this year. You know, I'm worried about the skill position players, but I don't know if it's the end of the world, because I think the way that Georgia Tech operates, you don't have to have a home run hitter back there to be successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw it last year. You know, there was not one single guy that was really dominant, but the team effort of everybody, kind of all the A-backs, all the B-backs, all the receivers, they all kind of chipped in and made it work. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of experience coming back, but we do have a lot of talented players coming in. B-back, you know, Marcus Allen, they converted. He recruited as B-back, moved to linebacker, now he's moved back. He had a good spring game. And I think that's something to be excited about. And then we got the transfer coming in from Stanford with Patrick Scove, who he's a fifth-year senior. You know, he's a big kid, played fullback at Stanford. He should be a nice backup B-back. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be running them in tandem kind of like we did last year.
Right.
And then at A-back, yes, you lose Dennis Andrews and all the seniors from last year. But Broderick Snoddy, he was our best A-back for a time until he got hurt. He had four or five games where he was our number one go-to A-back. And from what I've read, he is progressing very, very well in terms of his rehabilitation. So if he can come back and be 90% of what he was, that would be really great. And there's a lot of guys that look good that are going to be filling those A-back roles. Willis looked good in times that he played. You know, we got those big recruits. Quay Searcy is probably going to be playing quite a bit. He's redshirted. He's a redshirt. And then we have some other guys, some younger guys, from probably a couple of true freshmen that are going to be playing. The area that I'm a little bit more concerned about, but maybe I shouldn't be, is the wide receiver area. Because we have some big guys, some big recruits at wide receiver. And we've always seemed to have someone who's been stepping up and being a wide receiver in Paul Johnson's offense. And I think that one of these guys is going to step up and be it, whether it be Summers or Mezick or Janu or someone. And all of these guys are big guys, like 6'4", 6'5". Mm-hmm. So we should be okay. And I think the number one thing, besides the offensive line, is Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Justin Thomas was so good last year. And he's last year he was just a sophomore. And he'll be a junior this year. He just very, very good season last year. You have to believe that he will hopefully get better. And I think he will. I think the ceiling's pretty high for him.
Yeah.
And
I know.
And then on the other side of the ball, our defense. Last year, our defense was something that was an Achilles heel all season long. But this year, I think our defense could actually be the strength of the team. There's a lot of players that we got coming back and a lot of really talented players coming back, too.
I agree. Well, that's I agree with you. I think that's a good point. Georgia Tech having a quarterback that's played is going to be all the difference from what we've seen the last few years.
Right.
It's kind of amazing to me the stuff that Paul Johnson has been able to do. He does not get the credit he deserves. I think that if he has another really good season, he will start to get the credit. He does not get the credit he deserves because people, when they start talking about quote-unquote academic schools, they talk about Duke, they talk about Wake Forest, they talk about Stanford. People don't include Georgia Tech in that a lot of times because Georgia Tech has had success and it's just kind of a given, and it's a state school.
Right.
Usually they include private schools. So people outside of Georgia Tech don't realize how difficult it legitimately is to be successful at Georgia Tech. The way that people expect really high results and don't give the same kind of money and academic leeway that many other schools have. And I just really think Paul Johnson last year was one of his best coaching jobs. Like you said, all the attrition, not having that, having a team that is really together already, it's going to help. Even though we're missing some parts, I think it's going to be... He has the opportunity to be very successful, and the schedule really helps out there, I think, having a couple weeks just to kind of tune up. And I really don't think, I could be way off base, I really don't think Notre Dame is quite as good as people think they are.
So are you predicting we're going to go to South Bend and win? Is that what you're saying?
I do think so, yes.
Oh, okay. I'm going to try to go to that game, Andrew.
Well, that will be fun.
You should try to go, too.
Some of us have to work, Will.
Well, so do I. Are you implying that I don't have a job? I don't get it.
I have to work on Saturdays sometimes in the fall.
Oh, okay. Well, so that's a shame. That's a real shame.
I know.
Well, Andrew.
Yes.
We've had fun.
Well, you know, Will, I think that in the off season, there's a lot of things that happen, and then at the same time, there's a lot of things that don't happen, like games, for instance. So
that's right. But we are less than 100 days away.
Yes, that is true, and I think that's exciting. Well, if you right now had to pick one team in the ACC and one team in the SEC that you say could take everybody off guard and they're going to be a lot better than people expect, who would that be?
One team in the ACC and
yes.
One team in the SEC.
Yes.
They're going to be better than people expect.
You're just stalling here. People don't want to hear the stall. They want to hear your answer.
They'll be better.
All right, I'm going to tell
okay,
you.
Okay. Better okay. than people expect.
Yep.
NC State in the ACC.
Okay.
I think that they have a quarterback this year that can do it.
You really think that Ja'Cory Brissett or Brisket or whatever is going to be the guy?
I think he can actually be pretty good. He had a good season last year.
He had like one good game.
He had more than one good game. They had that stretch where they lost like four in a row against some tough teams. I mean, they got clobbered in some of those games. But they played pretty well in a lot of those games too, though. So I think that and all you said was you didn't say it was going to win at all. You just said play above expectations.
What? How many wins do you think they're going to have?
They had 8 wins last year. Let's say 10 wins.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Who's going to be better than you?
Including the bowl game at 10 wins.
Okay. Who do you think is going to be better than you expect in the SEC?
In the SEC. Install it again. I don't want to say Missouri.
No.
Because I think Missouri can be good again. And because they've been there two years in a row, so the expectation should be that Missouri should be good again.
Yep.
So I don't want to say Missouri. Man, it's got to come together for Tennessee eventually.
Okay.
It's got.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you. I'm over the Mississippi love. I'm over the state of Mississippi. I think next year LSU is going to come back with a force. I really think LSU is going to surprise people, and they're going to be neck and neck with Alabama again next year. Arkansas also, I think, is going to surprise people and be just as bad as they were last year.
Yeah. Hey, they're the best six-loss team in the country, okay?
Oh, man, they're the preseason top 25. So,
So wait, what about the ACC? Who's your team in the ACC?
That's going to be better than people expect?
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh. I think Pat Narduzzi, one of the best defensive coaches. He was with that Michigan State defense that was impossible to stop. I think that Pittsburgh, they've been like 7-5 for several years in a row. I think that they're going to kind of get over the hump.
Okay.
So, and that's a podcast, Will.
Well, and my name is Will, and I've been joined by
Andrew Brown.
And this is the Fourth and Short Podcast and fourthandshort.com. Email us at fourthandshortpodcast@gmail.com and find us on Facebook simply by searching for Fourth and Short Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We're getting closer to the season. The show's going to get better. It's got to. Can't get much worse than this one. No, this was a good episode. But thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Goodbye.